Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It is 1:33 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. So a little bit of discussion as to whether or not Ethan Bear will end up in the lineup or not. He was out there quite late today. Turris, Nygaard, Shore, Bear, Lagesson, and Dylan Wells were the last guys on the ice. Okay, so I guess that meant that Patrick Russell wasn't with the last group on the ice. That would also mean that Bouchard and Jones might be paired together for tonight. We shall see in that regard. We are going to go to our Oilers Now headliner today, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It might just be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K, today. He's a longtime NHL goaltender, current radio analyst of the Vancouver Canucks, and a mental health advocate as well. We welcome back to the show Corey Hirsch. Corey, it's Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great, bud. How are you doing?
Not bad. I mean, it was a tough start, 3-6, but they've picked it up. And, it's a privilege to watch a couple guys like McDavid and Draisaitl on a nightly basis. And it's remarkable what happens when you have two healthy goaltenders, because it settled the team.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. You guys are starting to play really well, I watch. So it should be a good hockey game tonight. The Canucks have been playing really well, too. So I guess we'll just kind of wait and see how this thing plays out. The Canucks just seem to always shoot themselves in the foot towards the end of the game. So.
Well, yeah. And they are playing well. They went through it. I mean, obviously they had some challenges with Montreal, and then they destroyed Vancouver. But give me the assessment. What have you liked of late in their game, Corey?
They're a high-paced, up-tempo game. They're playing better defensively. Early in the year, they just were not playing well defensively at all, and it was killing them. They were giving up, 22, 23 scoring chances a game. Now they've dropped that down to, 15, 16. So there's a lot of things that I do like about their game. Quinn Hughes is playing unbelievable, and he's always been. Every night he comes to play, there's no question about him. Brock Besser can score from anywhere. There's just been individual efforts every night that have been really good, but then there's one or two mistakes that have been killing them, and that's been part of the problem so far.
They lose Jacob Markstrom in goal. That's a position you played. Obviously, Demko was brilliant in the playoffs. He's an RFA this year. He's going to be extended and signed long-term. He's the guy of the future. Holpe in on a two-year deal. Didn't have great analytics the last couple of years, Corey. How would you assess the goaltending tandem to date?
It hasn't. It's been spotty at best. And losing Jacob Markstrom, I can see where that was gonna affect everything. Like he was that good, but the money and the term just it didn't make sense. It really didn't. It was too long. It was too much money. So I can see why they did what they did. Early in the year, they were giving up too many scoring chances. The goaltending. It had nothing to do with them. But now, the last couple games, Holtby wasn't very good last game, but Demko has been actually pretty good. I'm shocked they didn't play him against Winnipeg last game. And Demko's been, I would say, more steady of the two. He just, when Demko has played well, he hasn't got the run support, and that's hurt him.
You mentioned the fact that Hughes is elevated. What kind of fit has Nate Schmidt been on the defense?
Nate Schmidt, he's an interesting guy. Like, can skate really well. Probably one of the best skating defensemen in the league. He can move the puck, and he can jump up in the play. So that way he's good. But every once in a while, if you pressure him, there's a turnover that is not pretty. And it's not like it's a turnover where they can recover. It's something where, it isn't good. The other night, he went to go make a play, a long play out of his own zone. He ended up putting it off of one of the player's sticks, hit Demko in the back of the leg, and it went in the net. And just little things like that. But as far as, skating ability, talent, this guy has everything. He just needs to pay a little bit more attention to the smaller details of his game.
Have you 9 goalposts so far this season for Pettersson? Have you ever seen a guy get been snake bit like this before?
You know what? If you go back to last year, he hits the post quite a bit. It's not something that's new for him. He tries to be so precise with his shot that's kind of what happens. But, Bob, you know as well as I do, that's just good goaltending, right, when the guy hits the post. Hey, that's what I always said.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned about the accuracy, because he's trying to put it post and in on those, and the guy's got an awesome shot, especially with the way they structure that power play, because they have Horvat in that middle bumper spot. He gets some great looks there, and he can rip it, and he scored a bunch early that way, and Pettersson's obviously the offside look, and it's a pretty good power play. At least it should be, but it's only 20th in the league right now, so you know it's going to get better. Well, tell us about Nils Höglander, because I liked him here at Edmonton when the first two games of the year.
Yeah. So this kid, the best I can explain how playing against him would be is he is a pain in the ass, because he does not quit, right? He's one of those guys that just keeps coming at you and coming at you and coming at you. And if Oilers fans can remember Marty Jelena, kind of a little bit like that. You know, he doesn't have the size that Marty had. Marty was thicker and Marty was a little bit bigger. But that same type of relentless mentality where they just keep coming at you and you can't push them out of a game. And that's the way this kid is. And he's a great find. I don't think he'll be like a 70 or 80 point guy. I think he'll get 40 or 50 a year as an average when he starts to get a little bigger and a little bit more in the league.
The Canucks are in an interesting situation with Jim Benning. They've got a bunch of money coming off the books, $18.4 million. Sutter, Pearson, Edler, Ben, they're on the hook for $2.2 with Berchi in the minors right now. I would assume they buy out Erickson as well. So that's about $20 million bucks. But they got to get Hughes and Pettersson and Demko all signed. Is there concern in Vancouver about maybe not being able to have enough depth in the lineup because of how the cap's been managed here by Jim Benning?
You know, that's a fine dance that all the teams have to have right now. Like, you look at Toronto, what they've had to do.
Yep.
And you have to get creative, right, with these young guys. So that's always interesting, and nobody's quite figured it out yet. And even the Oilers, even for what the pain that they've been through, you know, they've had to
gotta
give those guys the money. So, and
what are you going to do as a GM? I mean, you have to pay those guys. You're going to have to pay Quinn Hughes. I mean, this guy's might end up the leading scorer, the defenseman scorer in the National Hockey League this year. He's that close. So he's going to want to get paid. Pettersson's going to want to get paid. That's a fine dance, and I think what you're going to see is you're going to have more guys, and you're going to have your fourth line is going to be almost all young guys that get paid, or guys or veterans that get paid, you know, $1 million. You can't, you know, like the Canucks' third and fourth lines have too much money on it. Sutter's making 3, Beagle's making 4, Roussel's making, I think, 2.5 or 3. Like, those guys are going to have to be $1 million players, or you're not going to be able to get it done.
Mike Smith is 38 years of age. I kind of threw out what happened in the bubble just because, look, the guy's a father. He's got kids. It's the summer. He's in Kelowna. You know, he had one bad start, turned the puck over, never got back in there between the pipes. That said, I didn't think he'd come back from an injury and go 4-0 with a 1.83 goals against average and a .940 save percentage. But the one thing about Corey, about Smith, is he is in unbelievable shape at any age for a goaltender, especially at the age of 38, and he can handle the puck. So as a former goaltender, who is the best puck-handling goaltender that you saw during your time, and how does that change the complexion of what teams do when you have a guy like that can handle a puck?
Yeah, well, I played against Texie, so, and Marty Berger, and it was in the era of the no trapezoid, so... You know, teams would just dump the puck in. The defensemen would just, you know, put their sticks across the blue line. You couldn't get past them because they just hold up guys. Those guys would go in the corner and they just fire the puck back out, right? So those are probably the best that I saw. But one of the smartest was actually Kirk McLean.
He wasn't a guy that would fire it over everybody's heads or try and clear the zone. But what he did was he made little smart outlet plays, right? Like little smart passes that kind of got his defenseman out of trouble. And that, to me, is valuable, too. Smitty is great with the puck. We also know that Smitty will give one or two up a year, right?
Yes.
You know, like that. And I've known Smitty. I played with Smitty when he was 20 years old. I was 30 in the Dallas organization. So I've known him a long time, and he's a great guy and a great goaltender. And that's the risk you take with a guy like that. But it makes it harder to forecheck. And it sure is a help for your defenseman wear and tear-wise by the end of the year.
When the Montreal Canadiens go out and bring in Jake Allen in this type of season, does that reinforce more than ever that we have moved really away? You can't just have one guy. I mean, the Ducks are living this right now. They're starting to see a drop-off in John Gibson, who's a great goalie. You need two goalies, especially in this type of season, don't you?
Yeah, you do this year for sure. No question you do. I'm always a believer in the playoffs. You can get away with the one guy and go, and you know, you're going to anoint a guy. But during the regular season, especially with all the back-to-backs,
right.
Canucks have already played 22 games. I mean, we've only been at it a month and, like 35, 40 days. Canucks have already played 22, 23 games. So that's a lot of hockey. And, you know, the points are critical right now because every team is every time you play a team, that's a team you're trying to catch for a playoff spot or beat out of a playoff spot. And everybody's going, it's going to take 62, 63 points. I don't know if you're ever out of it at this point, right? Because it might not. What if you end up in a four-game series with Winnipeg at the end of the year, you get all those 8 points, and all of a sudden now you might be knocking on the door of the playoff spot if you're out. So it's such a different animal from what it was before. This isn't like any other season that we've seen.
Vancouver Canucks color analyst Corey Hirsch, one final one for you. I mentioned that you've been a mental health advocate. How much more open do you think hockey is today than maybe 15, 20 years ago?
Oh, not even night and day, right? We've created a safe space for guys to come forward, which is awesome. That wouldn't happen 15 years ago. So I think it's amazing, and credit to the guys that have come forward. We still need more active players. What we need teams to understand is a guy with a mental health issue that just is struggling or whatever with mental health, he's not gonna be able to perform at his best. So you might be paying a guy $3 million, and if you don't help him or shun him because he's got a mental health issue, you've just lost $3 million in an asset. When if you help him and there is help available, this guy turns into a player and he'll probably be a better player. So until we start making organizations understand the value of helping these guys dollar-wise, guys are still going to be afraid to come forward because they don't want to get shunned or whatever. Or so until we can completely get rid of that, we're going to have a tough time seeing more active players forward, but I hope we do.
I believe, was it not Tyler Mott recently was fairly open about some of the challenges that he had gone through?
Absolutely. And Tyler Mott's been he's out right now, but what a great player for he's one of the key guys on the Canucks, and they got him help, and he's doing so much better. Like, he's doing incredible, and he helps the team. You know, the old adage of, you don't want a guy with a mental health issue on your team because you can lose with guys like that is garbage. And I always look at Michael Phelps, Bob. 23 gold medals, this guy had a depression issue. You kidding me? You can't tell me that guy's weak.
Yeah, I think we're just in a completely different... I'm a little bit older than you, Corey. I just think we're in a completely different place. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I think that society's far more open, far more sharing, and the older you get, the more you realize, the less you know. And when you do see certain situations, you don't look at it with disdain. Instead, you try to, I wonder what's going on there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I think what happened 20 to 25 years ago, guys used to just put their head in their sand and they didn't want to care about it.
Yep.
And I think, but that's my impression. You lived it. So that's why it's always intriguing having you on. Hey, one of these days we'll be able to travel again and we'll see each other then. Thanks for your time, Corey.
Always love seeing you, bud. Yeah.
All right.
Ciao.
You bet. That's Corey Hirsch. He's our Oilers Now headliner. He's brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk WILHAUK today. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you. It's 150 at Edmonton. This text comes in from former defenseman Mark. He says, Bob, who will the Oilers expose in the expansion draft? Did somebody actually suggest Darnell Nurse? What in the hell is wrong with people? Are we unable to enjoy a taste of success? The Oilers will try to give up or expose as little as possible. Oilers fans should want to... Oilers fans should want to have to expose excellent talent because it means they have oodles of it. When were the Oilers in the position to say that? I couldn't believe that we had a texter suggest that the Oilers, wow, it's going to cost too much money, Darnell Nurse. He's, yeah. Haji says, hey, Bob, it's the puck, not the pill, regarding shooting the pill. Again, you can text us 780-496-0063. Bob, do you envision Edmonton using a protection spot on Archibald? I think they'll go the 7-3-1 route with the development of JP, and I could see Archibald being the exact type of player Seattle would target, solid depth player, expiring contract, et cetera. AJ says that. I do think Edmonton's going to go 7-3-1. Going to say that right now. Absolutely. I can envision the Oilers going 7. Of course, they won't have to protect Bouchard and Broberg. Nurse and Bear would be protected for sure. Do they re-sign Barry? And then expose one of Lagesson or Jones or Chris Russell? Perhaps on defense, that might make sense. But I see them protecting Josh Archibald. I think he's just too important to the group. All right. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063, 151 in Edmonton. We are going to go into this day in Oilers history. It is brought to you by Dennis and Jason Laliberti and the team at New West Travel. Back in the 630 CHED studios, Brendan Escott.
Back in 1994, Zdeno Seeger has 4 assists to lead Edmonton to a 6-3 win over the Leafs at Northlands. The Oilers scoring 3 unanswered goals in the third period to clinch just their 16th win of the season. It was Igor Kravchuk, Mike Stapleton, and Jason Arnott all with multi-point efforts as well.
I first met Zdeno Seeger at the 1991 Canada Cup. The pre-tournament games were in Saskatoon, and I was broadcasting them as a 25-year-old for a guy named Mel Raskin based out of Toronto. And the Czechs were in the same hotel as us. And we ended up having a 7-up together, and a couple of years later, he ended up on the Edmonton Oilers hockey team. They also had a guy that looked really good in those pre-tournament games by the name of Richard Zemlichka, who never really panned out as a player. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton-owned and operated for over 50 years. Royal Pizza offers curbside pickup and takeout options for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. The Stauffer recommendation is the Mediterranean chicken. Just before we wrap things up, I want to quickly, if I can, jump back into the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Bob, are you suggesting that Clefbaum isn't going to get signed? Well, he's already signed. Wouldn't they want to protect him? Well, we need to know whether or not Oscar's going to play. So, ironic, I took a look at ESPN's respective Olympic teams, and they had Oscar Clefbaum on their Olympic team. I don't know if Oscar's going to play. Of course, he's out for this season. We know that due to some challenges with his shoulder. If he's playing, then I would envision that the Oilers would be protecting them. So valid point by you, Peter. Congratulations on being on top of it. And you're probably well aware of the fact that Bayern Munich's up by a score of 3-0. Again, you can text us at any time, 78, because he's a soccer fan. Text us 780-496-0063. What do we got shaking here? Well, we can tell you that we will have the game for you tonight. Face-off show at 6 p.m. with Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Cam Moon, myself, Jack Michaels, a cast of thousands. Face-off show at 6, puck drop at 8 p.m. Cam will have the call of tonight's game with me. Tomorrow, Brian Lawton from the NHL Network, from Mattress Superstore, David Staples from the Cult of Hockey, and a special guest that we're working on. We might be able to figure it out. We will tell you coming up next, a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by a simulcast of CHQR 770 in Calgary with Angela Coquat. So long, everybody, from Oilers Now, back at you at 6.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.